Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear Church, we have now entered yet another Lent. Lent is a time for us to refocus, a time for us to return to the things of the Lord. For some, that might have meant time away from church. It is now time to return. For some, it was time away from God's Word. It is time to return. For some, it is time away from prayer. It is time to return. You see, dear church, during Lent, we have to take time to refocus ourselves. Some people choose to give things up for Lent. But tonight, I'm going to talk about what the Church of Christ, has done for centuries. And it's done something for centuries because it is good for you. Does it mean you have to do it in order to attain salvation? Absolutely not. Salvation is a free gift to you, won by Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And yet the church has recognized these to be good things. I take no pleasure in tracing an ashen cross on any of your foreheads. I especially don't like to be reminded that my less than one-year-old is destined to die. But that is what the cross reminds us of. That is why, with the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return," the church, for centuries, has placed these ashes on foreheads to remind people of the truth. And that truth is that because of Adam's fall into sin, we are now all destined to die. For God proclaimed to Adam, "I took you from dust, and to dust you shall return." You will now die because of your sin. And that curse has been handed down generation after generation, and it is a curse that we are inflicted with as well. But there is also hope. For those who choose to get these ashen crosses, we are reminded that they are in the shape of a cross. That they are in a shape of what saves us from our sin, the cross of Jesus Christ. So let's talk about what the church has done for centuries. Let's talk about why she has done this. The fact is that these three things that I'm going to talk to you about tonight are actually specifically laid out by Jesus in our gospel lesson. Jesus is giving a Sermon on the Mount, and he is telling his followers how they should live. And so he begins with these words in chapter 6. He says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed..." He implies that there will be charitable deeds. Traditionally, this is referred to as alms giving. The giving of alms is something that the church focuses on throughout the whole year, but especially during the season of Lent. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, "if you do charitable deeds," but "when you do charitable deeds." On top of our regular tithing, that is giving back to God, he has also given us a superabundance, and we are to care for those who have not received as much as we have. Jesus continues in his discourse, and he says, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Jesus implies that his children, those who follow him, will pray. You cannot survive in a spiritual life without prayer. The disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." And Jesus in turn said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father who art in heaven.'" Jesus gave a prayer to his disciples to teach them how to pray and to teach them what to pray. The Lord's Prayer is a staple of all of our worship services because the Lord has taught us how to pray. Assuredly, you should take time every day to pray, and not just the Lord's Prayer, but praying from your heart as well. That at times when you call out to God, even in words that you don't understand or comprehend what you need at that moment, the Lord hears you. He knows your need, and He well provides. You are to pray without ceasing. And it's not wrong for you to pray on the street corners or in the restaurant before you eat. The point is that you do not make a show of it. As he warned about giving alms, he warns here about pray. Do not do this just so that others may see you, but do this from your heart. And the third thing, he says, moreover, when you fast. We can get behind giving to charity. We can definitely get behind prayer. But fasting? Fasting isn't something that we normally talk too much about. And it's a shame that we don't. Now, I know I talked about this last Ash Wednesday, but it bears repeating. Jesus doesn't say, if you fast. He says, when you fast. He implies that those who devote themselves to him will fast, not because it will somehow save you, not because it's a good work that will gain you heaven, but because it is a good thing for you to do. Sometimes we call them diets. We know that our bodies don't need to consume quite so much, but in a culture that constantly feasts, we have forgotten how to fast. Jesus says, when you fast. And he says, when you fast, do not disfigure your faces as the hypocrites do. They appear to men to be fasting. They have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now you might say, well, Pastor, why is your face not washed? Pastor, why do we put ashes on the foreheads if he says, don't let men know of your fast? The reason is this. That cross reminds you of the truth that you will die, but by the death of Jesus Christ you have salvation. The point of receiving ashes upon your forehead is not to go parading yourself to others, not somehow trying to make a statement, whether you do it or don't, that you're somehow better than the other person who chose not to or chose to. It makes no difference for your salvation, but it does remind you that you have been purchased. That even though you are destined to die, Jesus Christ has placed his cross upon your forehead and upon your heart, and that in your baptism, you have received that mark. In your baptism, your sins are washed away. Why is it good for Christians to fast? Why has the church fasted from the beginning of its inception? Because it's good for us. The church has understood that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we train our bodies. Your flesh desires that which God does not desire for you. And so when we fast, we are reminding our bodies that the soul is stronger. When we choose to go a certain amount of time without eating, we have more time for other things. And that is why these three things go together. When you fast, you have more money. Because when you don't buy as much food, you have more money. And we're not supposed to spend it on frivolous things, but we're supposed to use that money to give to charity. When you fast, you have more time. Because if you are not spending time eating, then you have more time not to devote on Facebook, but in prayer. These three things go together. I encourage you to reclaim this art of fasting. And I don't mean fasting like the papists do. I don't mean gouging yourself on all-you-can-eat fish and old fashions every Friday as if that's somehow fasting. It's not. Rather, I encourage you to take time out of your days during the season of Lent, during seasons of sadness, of returning to the Lord, to fast. Joel writes about this. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of a great kindness. When Jonah went to proclaim to Nineveh that God would destroy them within 3 days unless they repented, the king tore his clothes, sat in ashes, and declared that everyone must fast. God relented of the destruction. And if there wasn't a time before in our lives, the time is definitely now where we need to return to the Lord, individually, as a church, as a nation, and as a world. The time has come to declare a fast, to declare a time of weeping and of mourning, and that we hope that if we do return to the Lord, he in his mercy would be merciful to us. Joel said, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them cry out, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach. Yes, we need to cry out to the Lord. We need to return to him. We need to call everyone to once again gather in the Lord's church, to return their hearts, their bodies, their minds, and their souls to him. We must dispel fear. We must dispel tyranny, and instead return to the Lord. Teach your body how to be trained. Paul talks about training your body as one trains for a race. Train yourselves, because the day may very well come when persecution comes knocking on your door and your captors say, I will not feed you until you relent of your faith in Jesus Christ. All you have to do is say, I deny Jesus and I will give you food. And if you don't believe me, this has happened time and time again. People face death for being Christians. So return now. Return quickly. Rend your hearts to him. Ask the Lord that he might take your heart of stone away and that he may replace it with a living heart. A heart that beats for him. A heart that is not devoted to the things of this world that rust away, but a heart that stores up treasures in heaven. Our gospel lesson ends with words that we would do well to remember. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That is the truth. Do not focus so much on everything in this world that will pass away. Devote yourselves and the lives of your children instead to the Lord. Devote your day in prayer, in fasting, and in giving to those who don't have as much as we do. Devote yourselves to the Jesus who took on your flesh, that suffered your death, that you might share in his life. So today I declare that we should consecrate that fast and return to the Lord, that we might cry out, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.